Welcome to this podcast from Harvest Community Church of Huntersville, North Carolina, where our vision is to make disciples who make disciples. I'm your host, Liz Stefanini. Our last few podcasts have introduced us to personal stories from people of color and how the grace of God can shine through, even in the challenging area of race. Today, Senior Pastor Jerry Barber concludes this mini-series, Race and Grace, with personal reflections of his own on that topic. Pastor Jerry, can you tell us about your experiences with racism?
I sure can, Liz. This is such an important topic for us right now, isn't it? And just wanted to give some kind of personal reflections. I've really enjoyed hearing these stories from harvesters about this topic. And in my experience, obviously, I am a white male, 61 years old. I'm born in 1959, which means I grew up in the 60s and 70s. And there was a lot of racial tension at that point. I grew up in the South. In fact, from my recollection, Boston and Charlotte were two of the very first cities that did busing for integration. And so when I was first growing up, I would go to schools in my neighborhood with people that looked like me. And then about fourth grade, I was bused to another place in town. That was the first kind of black and white integration together in schools. And then in junior high, it was back to a neighborhood school near me where previously it had been virtually 100% Caucasian, and then it became about 60-40 of a racial mix. And early on in those days, there was a lot of tension. There were fights. There were riots. We had law enforcement there regularly to keep that down. There was a lot of fear. There was a lot of fear because fights broke out all the time between black and whites. You know, it's just very uncomfortable. In fact, I'm big and tough now, but I wasn't big and tough back then. It's a skinny little thing, and I wouldn't go into the restroom by myself just because you didn't know who was in there. Were they going to beat you up because you were white, right? And I'm sure it worked the other way as well. I'm sure black students were cautious and afraid because we saw it on both sides. We saw it on both sides. I accidentally helped start a riot once. We were playing at lunchtime out in this courtyard and with a little like 3-foot wall surrounding these concrete benches. We're playing King of the Hills, just some friends and I, and we were, you know, you jump up on the concrete bench kind of, and you stand up there and your friends try to push you off, and whoever's up there is the King of the Hill. And, you know, it was a very friendly game. One black student came over and joined us, and then another. And then before you know it, it became whites versus blacks pushing in this game. And I watched black students surround the corridor, and then people started. We knew something bad was about to happen, and then people were drug into that courtyard area and beaten up and stuff. And it just became a big mess. I mean, that's the kind of environment. I heard teachers make, not in the classroom, but I heard a teacher one time make a racial slur towards students after a fight. So it was just really, really tough, a tough environment. And I admit and know that there was prejudice in my heart at that point. I was not comfortable. I was afraid. I put people who didn't look like me, lumped them into one category because that was my only exposure. And again, we're talking, you know, when I'm 12, 13 years old. Through the years, obviously, as I grew in Christ, I began to realize what I had seen all around me was not God's heart and God's plan. I do want to say this. It's not just a Southern thing. Sometimes people think that, oh, the South was racist, you know, I guess because of the Confederacy and all that. But I, as an adult, when I was actually in my PhD program in the Chicago area, I had this little business on the side, and I was in an office complex once, and I heard two two women talking about, you know, one of their college-age daughters had gotten they'd gotten into college and then met their roommate who was of a different race, and the one lady told the other lady that, and she said, but she seemed like to be a nice girl, and it was just this inherent incipient racism that was under the surface. And so I think the issue of racism is something that, you know, people can struggle without even realizing it. And that's part of the issue. I remember my boys did all kind of school things, Christian school, private school, charter school, public school. We did different things. And when they were in school environments, you know, it was very integrated here. And at that point, they're all in their early 30s now. I felt like there had been racial progress. I've said to them at times, oh, you guys, I've told them some of my school stories and stuff, and they didn't deal with that. They didn't deal with that, those kind of fights and police officers and stuff like that. And I'm like, you know, I was hoping and feeling like, well, maybe as America we've moved on, because they didn't seem to experience the same kind of things. Well, we all know, obviously, in recent months, the racial tensions have boiled over again. And I've been doing some reading. I read media. I read media that's left, centrist, and right to try to, you know, get accurate information. But I've been reading some books on this issue and tracing some of the history of racial tension in our country. And not everybody in America, the founding fathers, all the founding fathers, all the historians, not everybody was racist, but many were. Much of the history of America is built on some systems that excluded people because of their color. And so that helps us understand, those of us who are not people of color can understand that our brothers and sisters who are people of color have felt the effects of this for a long time. And of course, in our stories in this Race and Grace series, we've heard some of those very stories. So how did God help me? I can truthfully say I love people of all color. I love the diversity at Harvest. We have people from many colors, many nations in our body. And this wasn't an overnight thing. There are a couple of biblical passages that really, really helped me. I preached on one of them earlier in the summer, and that was the account in Acts 10 when Peter, who was a Jew, had a vision from God in which he was to go to Cornelius's house, the Gentile. And Peter saw this vision with these animals that God told him to eat, and in his Jewish heritage and history, they were unclean. And he said, no, I can't do that. But then God was appearing to him and warning Peter to overcome this racial prejudice. Jews would not go into the home of a Gentile at all. And yet God spoke to him and worked with him. And Acts 10 is the account where he overcomes that. And he does go to Cornelius's house and explains the gospel to him. And great things happen. And both of them overcame racial prejudices, I think, or prejudice of some sort towards each other. Cornelius was in the Roman army, and he could have looked down, you know, on Peter, this fisherman or whatever. Peter was a Jew, and he certainly would have looked down on this Gentile about going to his home. But in the power of the gospel, they changed. And so when Cornelius said to Peter, hey, we want to hear from God, and Peter said in Acts 10:34, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. And that is so true. God doesn't show favoritism. God accepts people from all nations, all backgrounds. And, of course, the Apostle Paul affirmed that in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, he's talking about the old and the new. We've been made alive in Christ, and we're supposed to put to death the old things, like lying and anger and filthy language and stuff like that. And he says, you've put on the new self, which obviously is a reference to salvation in Jesus Christ. And Colossians 3:11 says, here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. And, you know, the divisions that were true in the first century have been broken down in Jesus Christ. Paul will say in another place, there's neither male nor female. And so it's Christ does not want us to be divided. And again, for me personally, I don't know where it happened along the way. I'm thankful that it did happen in my heart. And I know I have the desire, and many, many people have the desire to have true, authentic relationships with brothers and sisters that don't look like us or have the same background that we have. And that's what the gospel can do. It's only the power of God. Politicians aren't going to do it. Even good human efforts aren't going to do it. But the gospel can do it. The gospel changes people. Former enemies of God. All of us by nature are separated from God and God's enemies. Jesus dying on the cross for us and saving us did that so that he would break down those walls and we would no longer be God's enemies, but by faith we would trust him and we would become God, a member of God's family. And those walls are broken down as well as the walls of separation between people. So I just want to thank you guys for your hearts. I know many people at Harvest are very interested in our continuing to grow and learn from each other and love each other better. I appreciate that. And as always, let us know if you have thoughts, if you have questions on this subject. We want to be a people that please God as we make disciples who make disciples.
Thanks again for joining us today from Harvest Community Church. This podcast is also available on our website, harvestcharlotte.com. Please go there if you want to send a question or comment, learn more about our ministries, or find out how you can donate to support the podcast.